When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Final Fantasy IX and 2023 are over, but we are just getting started here in 2024 on post-show recaps. I am your host, Brooklyn Zed, here to cover Final Fantasy IX with my co-host, as always, Adam H. Adam, how's it going?
I mean, you know what?
Reluctant to ask.
You know, we're going, Zed. You know what? I do want to start off this podcast on a very positive note here to celebrate us a little bit, but then of course also to celebrate you. It was pointed out recently that we are just past we are just past the 3-year anniversary of the Final Fantasy podcast, which sort of feels like a crazy long time, but said I don't, you know, whatever, that doesn't involve me completely. So in terms of just me, how long do you think that I've been here? Do you remember when our first Final Fantasy podcast was?
Gosh, let's see. So I played 7 and then remake and then 8, I think was the order that we did things in, or I did 7 and then 8 and then remake. It would have been, I think, was it as early as 2022? Have we been podcasting on this feed together for more than a year already?
So while this is your 3-year anniversary of the Final Fantasy podcast, it is my year and a half anniversary. We started June 4th of 2022, Final Fantasy VII again, first trip to Midgar. And since then, we did what? We did original Final Fantasy VII, we did remake, we did Crisis Core, we did, that's it, right?
And now 9?
And then 9.
Is this your first non-Final Fantasy VII podcast in a year and a half of podcasting?
Yeah, and ironically, maybe not my favorite, because Remake was probably the best, but I definitely am enjoying this like the second most. Crisis Core who, right? So it's okay.
It is wild that we talked about that game for as long as we did.
Talked about it forever. It was just Genesis Project clone after Crisis Genesis Core clone. Yeah, I actually ran into a Genesis clone on the way to Panera this morning. Okay, so we're a little delayed here in the Final Fantasy podcast, and for the most part I will take the blame on that, not all of it, but for, you know, I'll take like 80 plus ish percent of it. You know, holidays are always very, very tough. We did quite a bit of traveling, although we did, you know, bring one to you during that plane, which was great. I have now, since the new year, had to go into the office a couple days a week after having been completely working from home for 3+ years at this company. So that has been a significant challenge for me and has subsequently taken away a lot of my time to play for as long as I usually do. Officially, though, not that I would ever play during working hours, but commute is a tough thing. And then also just like needing time to decompress from having to wear nice for clothes, sure, and go into a place. Like, there's a lot more than just the actual time in the office that's going to that. So that's why this is a little delayed. But fear not, if anyone thinks that I would ever abandon my emotional support Steiner, you just don't know me, okay? You just simply don't. I was very glad to be back at it today, although we ran into quite a few issues in a couple hours. Multiple hours that I played through. At the end of this podcast, you're going to think to yourself, wow, Adam did not get very far. In this little section of game here, I played over 7 hours for this game. I played over 7 hours, and admittedly, like, four of it was last night, because after playing three, I was sort of like, I have nothing to talk about. I literally have just not a single thing to talk about whatsoever. And so I just kind of grinded a bunch of game last night, and grinded is really going to be the key to this section of the game here for a lot of reasons, including I don't know what to do with these items at this point. I still don't. I kind of thought that I did. I put in some time like trying to figure it out and work it out, but I didn't get to where I needed to go, to be completely honest with you. And then I was pretty horribly underleveled, and when rando encounters are just wiping me, and I don't have the opportunity to actually like go back to a save point and figure out a good place to grind, I'm just going to overgrind and overcorrect a little bit so I don't have to do it again. So we'll talk about that once we get in there. The other problem,
I feel like we just talked about this a podcast or two ago, where, well, I was like, isn't it interesting, Adam, how this keeps happening, where I'm pretty sure I always tell you to do something and then you're like, I'm not going to do that. And then you get far enough into the game and you're like, oh, I am underleveled for this far into the game, and yeah, now I have to do something about it.
Personally, Zed, I think it's a coincidence that it's happened multiple times.
Every time. I think 4 for 4 is where we're at right now.
No, there's no way it happened for Crisis Core. I don't even know why I did all those level missions or whatever.
Other than having the completionist curse that I have.
I don't think I was underleveled in Remake, actually. I think I was okay there. I do remember grinding in 7 in that cave thing.
Well, that's sort of inevitable regardless. That just happens. Even if you've leveled properly, by the when you're headed to the very end of the game, there's going to be some grinding in the Northern Cave.
Yeah. It's just... So that was like the only grinding, I think, really. I don't know.
I'm not going to be the one to check the tapes. If anybody's going to.
No, I have no clue. Yeah. Let me know. If this is incorrect, let me know. But also, this is not the podcast where I admit that I'm wrong. So that's a separate podcast. You have to go find that elsewhere.
But I know I did predict this just a week or two ago.
Well, okay, so the other part of this is at the beginning of the game, and this was maybe a function of like, I'm certainly not blaming you for this, but I think you didn't say it because you wanted me to figure it out, or because like I maybe didn't want you to tell me. The item leveling progression, like the AP of it all. So when you equip a new item, my understanding was you just learn the things on there from that, but then when you unequip it, you like would still have it. But there are lots of items that I have not like fully progressed that I thought that I did. And so, like, for example, when I unequipped, whatever the name of the item is, from Dagger, and I was like, oh, this is weird, why can't she summon anything now? It turns out it was because I unequipped the one thing and she was not like fully there yet, which made it like very, very difficult. And then let's say hypothetically that you equip, I think it's a topaz or whatever, it's a dagger where she can only summon Ifrit, and then you fight nothing but fire creatures for the whole time, hypothetically, that were to maybe happen. And then for some reason, Dagger is losing concentration like every 3 seconds. Like she has no idea how to concentrate on one thing. Should this person really be the queen? I don't think so. Not a lot of concentrating abilities.
Listen, nobody listening to this podcast is going to argue that monarchy is the system to go for.
Yeah, especially not when they're like children. Maybe Aiko should be the queen. If we're just gonna, I don't know who of the main cast. I mean, it's Steiner, right? It's just Steiner. Who should be in charge of a kingdom.
Oh, I think I'd say Freya. Steiner is like too, this is the way that things are done, and therefore we will continue to do things this way.
Yeah.
With like less wiggle room for considering the individual circumstances of a situation. Obviously, that started to change over time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not growing. The Steiner he was at the start of Disc One. Mm-hmm. But I think Freya has the experience both as a fighter, but also the like compassion and humanity. And she's a rat person. So she's already like used to being a different species to other people, maybe, and having more understanding that way. So I'd advocate for Freya.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say mayor for queen.
I don't agree with that Freya at for all. Mayor. It's not Pia. I don't think it's Dagger. Echo's like 6 years old, so that's not it. Vivi's like 9, so that's not it. And also, Vivi has an emotional breakdown every 5
Freya
minutes,
is at least an adult, too.
Yeah, Freya is an adult. Is it like Baku? do we go into the other Tantalus people?
I don't think we're trusting
okay, Baku not Baku. To do anything. All right, well, congratulations to Freya on your new queendom.
Okay, she's 21. She's barely an adult.
Ooh, that's an adult, though. That's an adult. When you're, I think the like one of the highest percentage ages of people that say that they're, like, I'm an adult, like, who say that line are probably 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
Not that that makes them more
are like 18 to 22 and correct, then they're kind of over it
because like,
they're actually adults and they hate it.
Yes. Yeah. No one actually wants to be an adult here. Let me tell you, or at least I don't.
It becomes, oh no, I'm an adult.
Yeah. stop. Why is this happening? everyone just calm down for a second. okay. That's enough stalling. Oh, the only other thing is totally separate from Final Fantasy, but I was excited to tell you specifically. I am going to see John Mulaney tonight, actually. So I don't know if we can like work in John Mulaney quotes into this podcast somehow, but I am going to see John Mulaney at the theater tonight. So I'm very excited about that. So there you go. That's the other.
I am pretty conversant in those references. That is absolutely unrelated to this.
Yeah, no, it's totally unrelated. I was trying to think of a way to like weave it in, and I couldn't get there.
But I'm sure you will have a good time. I saw him live once like 8 years ago or something.
I'm hoping
for
before
his special went to Netflix.
Yeah, but I'm hoping it's not just all the same stuff that I've seen him or I've like heard, I guess I've never like seen him live, so I'm just hoping it's not like all the same stuff that I know, like, you know, but I don't know. I don't really know how Comedy X works. I don't go to a lot of like live comedy shows. I just want tickets through work, so it's like, you know. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Is there anything else? Anything else you want to?
I don't think so. We gotta remember where we were.
Yeah.
We're gonna go some places. We're gonna do some things. We'll get off track later, as usual, probably. Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and jump in and see what's going on in the world of Terra. No, of Gaia.
What world is Terra? Oh my god. okay, good to be back. I'm sure people are loving that we're back here, despite the fact that. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. So we are with Iko. Where we are, I don't really know. This is Kuja's place. Okay. So if I literally just turn the page over where we, and the last thing I did last time was,
yes, please remind us,
was Sid the Frog walking slower than anything
has ever walked.
Yeah. To get to an hourglass and a scale, not to balance it, but rather to climb up the scale and I do something with an hourglass.
How could I forget?
He was just Erica from Survivor. Smash the hourglass and then it's fine, basically, I think is the situation. And then Iko, Vivi, and the Flaming Ginge are all saved. So that's the last thing I did last time, was Sid accomplishing this task and saving everyone. And now I pick up with Iko. Okay, wait, hold on. It's Iko, the Flaming Ginge, and Dagger, and Vivi. They're, oh my god, okay, hold on. See, I thought this made sense to me, but I'm with Iko.
Yeah, okay. I do not yet have enough context to help you explain what's going on.
The Okay, so I know like what's happening. I just don't know the name of the place where I'm at. Okay, so Aiko is going around and lighting torches and lighting candles all over the place.
Okay, so you're in. This is in the desert.
Sure. Is that Kuja's? I thought it was a ship. Okay, whatever. Maybe it's not a ship.
Well,
maybe
it's where he sends you.
But it's connected by whatever telepad to. Okay. Got it. Aiko is dealing with the torches and we're just turning them on and we're unlocking secret doors and we are having secret window passages appear because we are lighting torches. This happens for a long time and sort of starts the trend here of I did a thing that took a long time, but I have nothing to say about it because all it is just Aiko running around and me hitting enter to turn on the torches and another light door, whatever, appearing.
You get the bloodstones.
We get a bunch of bloodstones. There are tons of bloodstones.
Did you take them?
Yeah. Of course okay. I did.
I did watch this part of my playthrough this morning trying to remember things that happened to me 4 months ago. And I said, I was like, imagine you just run through here and you don't take any of the stuff because taking a bloodstone does not sound like a good idea.
If it gives me the option to take something, I'm just going to take it.
Generally, particularly at this point in game development, if it says, do you want to take, and this game you've learned, it's like, poke it, look at it, do nothing. You got to poke it.
Yeah.
Or nothing's going to happen.
Or absolutely nothing is going to happen. Yeah, I have no problem with taking bloodstones. I'm a big theft guy, just in general, to be honest with you. So, who's to say? We are stealing bloodstones.
You can't steal from corporations. It's morally not possible. That's my stance.
No, I agree with you, but I disagree with the premise. I agree with the premise, but I disagree with your take on the execution because I think you definitely can steal from corporations and it is also morally required to do it.
Got it. Okay, sure. Got it. I understand what you're saying.
I think we're in agreement. Anyway. Yeah. We're stealing bloodstones. We're also getting stuff from each bloodstone that's like attached to it. There's like some, I don't know, there's like an armor and there's, I don't know.
A hat and a whatever. Shield.
Yeah, it's all like all kinds of stuff here. I don't know why we're hiding treasures or we're stealing treasures, but whatever. Then comes the one of the worst things that has ever happened to me in this game. We're fighting a giant chest of drawers here. A giant... I don't know what other people call these dressers or just wardrobes, maybe. I don't know. We're fighting this. And I want to paint you a picture because do you remember, and it's interesting we started this podcast with like all the way back. Do you remember back in Final Fantasy VII as we are leaving the headquarters down the elevator? We are fighting something on the other side of the elevator. And I had... all melee characters,
right,
as well as Barrett, but he did not have a ranged gun attached.
He had the cannonball. I ran into this problem on my current playthrough.
Yeah. Okay. And my solution to that was to basically do nothing until the doggo got a limit break, and that was the only damage that I could do. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Glad that we remember that because it felt so similar to this fight because I had Aiko who has no offensive capabilities save for smack them in the face for somewhere between 11 and 16 damage at this
with
point.
Her flute.
Yeah. We have the Flaming Ginge, who was a damage superstar dealing 140-ish damage per turn. We had Dagger, who also has no offensive capabilities and could not summon at this point and also lost concentration on healing all the time. And we had Vivi, who could have theoretically been good had this enemy not been able to reflect a lot of the bad things that Vivi wanted to do to it.
Yeah.
So on a turn of combat, it was Ginge smacks him for 140 points of damage. Amazing start. Vivi follows up with a smack of his own for roughly 10 damage. Aiko follows up with a smack of her own for roughly 15 points of damage. And Dagger casts heal or life or whatever on whoever just got rocked by something. And it took me about an hour to get through this one combat. I have no idea how much HP this thing had. Thousands, though. And yeah,
I actually had a similar problem. My party that was in the Desert Palace was Aiko, Vivi, Garnet, and Quinna. So Quinna was my physical damage dealer doing 150 or so points of damage. And you're just sitting there chipping away forever at the Valley of Pyrrha is what it's actually called, which has 12,000 HP.
Yeah. I mean, it literally took me an hour and I was just sitting here like,
I at least did have some summons. Dagger, some summons by that point. But it's a long fight. I think it looked a door or a window, but either way, classic Final Fantasy, why not fight an inanimate object for no explicable reason?
We love rando inanimate object fights. Like, truly, they love that more than anything. I mean, maybe even more than I love Steiner. I don't know. It didn't make any sense. I couldn't explain to you why we fought this thing or what this thing was or what it was doing. I mean, we were going around and stealing a bunch of stuff from this place. And maybe like if the Bloodstones had something. Although I will say at the beginning of the fight, it did like try to do a bunch of stuff. And then it was like, I can only do this one thing because you whatever with Bloodstones. So maybe I just got a bunch of Bloodstones and did it. But I don't know. That's my assumption of like you took some of the power away. Which was probably good, because if I didn't, there was no way I could. If this did like any semblance of real damage,
its magic defense, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been cooked. I would have been absolutely done. So we beat the Chest of Drawers. Great, absolutely terrible fight. Miserable, demoralizing. Was really questioning what life choices I had made to get me to this point in a very similar way to what I did as I was going down the Final Fantasy VII elevator. So. If there's one thing this game is, it is consistent with giving me a slight existential crisis, usually at roughly 11:30, 11:45 p.m., give or take. So,
listen, I've played Final Fantasy VII at least 5 times now, and I did have ranged, at least one ranged character, but also I had Barrett with the cannonball because I think that's the most recent weapon you can get for him in that fight.
Oh yeah.
And why on earth would you give Barrett a non-ranged weapon? It makes no sense. And I was like, why can't Barrett attack? And people in the chat are like, does he have the cannonball? I was like, I don't know. I gave him his newest weapon. That's what you're supposed to do. So just in case anyone thought I was an expert on anything or I'm good at any of these games, as a reminder, I am not.
Well, we're 3 years into Final Fantasy podcast. I'm a year and a half in. Neither of us are doing what we need to be doing here, unfortunately. Yeah. But
I will say, just as a shout out to Josh, I was playing Final Fantasy VII on the stream yesterday at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. And I sent him a couple screenshots of dialogue from the videos that you can watch in the basement of a house in the at the inn. That have no visuals. And again, I've changed the character names. So I send him a screenshot that was just like, if it's a girl, we'll name her Comrade. And Josh knew exactly what that was from. With no visual, no name of who was speaking. He's like, I know what this is.
That's wild. Yeah. Okay.
Completely missable thing that has no visual component to help you remember. And it didn't say Aerith.
what's even more wild is like the disparity between that and I played this for hours last night and I don't even know where we were and I'm taking detailed notes. Okay. Let's move on. We're back with Pia and the gang. Pia gets back. I totally forget where Pia left off last time, but he got the stone from the place. And he's coming back because Kuja wants him to get the stone. The specifics of the stone and what it does is a little murky to me. Kuja wants it to take over the world and use this world to take over other worlds, I guess. But, like, how does it actually do that? I don't know. And why can't he go do it? Like, there's an anti-magic whatever with it, which is why I took all my melee attack damage people over there. It's fine.
Yeah, so you split the party. It's unclear to me now if you did this time or last time. But when you get to the desert palace, you are sending half of your party with Zidane to, or with Pia, to Ulivair, O-E-I-L, however you want to pronounce that sequence of letters, there. Very French sounding. To go get the Gulag stone from Mount... Is it Mount Gulag in this game? Mount Gulag is a place in Final Fantasy I. So this is a throwback to the original Final Fantasy. But so half of your party is going to Ulivair to get the Gulag stone from Mount Gulag. And then the other half of your party, which is what we've been talking about so far, is the part that's running around the desert palace, causing mayhem and inanimate objects, lighting candles.
Lighting candles, tipping scales, doing all of the important things, really, in this life. Mm-hmm. Pia gets back and he comes in and Kuja's like, Pia, I want to see you alone. Come in here alone with me. Don't bring anyone else. And Steiner is like, I'm sure that this is a trap. You should proceed with caution. He's like, oh, yeah, Steiner? Is this, you think this is a trap? Friggin' Steiner, man. Okay, so he walks in, he's like, give me the stone, da, 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 da. And on the other side, they're all like, wait a minute, this is a trap. We have to go in and rescue Pia because everyone else gets back. The group that was, well, not back, the group that stayed there finally decides to show up after tipping scales and lighting torches. They get back and they all walk in and they're like, oh, okay, we gotta go help Pia, it's all a trap. But then friggin' Aiko gets left on the other side of the door, and not one person is like, where did Aiko? Did we lose Aiko back there? No, they just walk in like it's nothing. Pia's in there, and Kuja's like, give me the stone. And Pia's like, I don't know. This is maybe a bad idea. And Kuja then just freaking Aiko stones, and it pulls over just out of nowhere for nothing. He can do magic now somehow. That's in this game. I mean, I guess magic was always in the game, but like this kind of like household magic is now in the game as he, you know, brings over the stone. He's like, haha, I have everything that I want now, you idiots. And then also he kidnaps Aiko and starts to run away on the ship, the Hildegard, one of the Hildas, Hildegard. It'll be weirdly important later, to be honest with you. he gets away on the ship, and then we all, you know, run after him. We're like, oh my god, I can't believe that he got away. This is ridiculous. We have to go follow him. But how are we gonna follow him? Glop, glop, ribbit, ribbit. Well, what if we used our other ship that could just follow him? The blue Narcissus or Narcissa. I don't know. The blue, there's a Narcissus.
I think it's just Narciss, but that feels so counterintuitive.
Yeah, Narciss.
It looks like they forgot to write the rest of the word.
Feels like there's an A at the end of that. Or at least there should be. The blue Narciss. Because it's a double S at the end. That's the weird. Like if it was N-A-R-C-I-S.
It should be Narcissa Malfoy or Narcissus.
Yeah.
The Greek god.
Listen, that's a separate podcast. I don't know. Should I make that?
Anyway, it's
that the God of the Week on the Percy Jackson podcast. No, it just wants me to look up narcissistic.
Based on Narcissus.
In the Greek god, the son of the river god Cephisus and the nymph.
Narcissus mythology.
Okay. Okay, I'm just going to start reading and hope that this is interesting.
Okay, Narcissus, he's from Greek mythology, but he's not a god.
Narcissus' mother was told by the blind seer, whatever name, that he would have a long life provided he never recognized himself. However, his rejection of the love of the lymph Echo, or whatever, of the young man Amenius, in an earlier version, drew upon him the vengeance of the gods. He fell in love with his own reflection in the waters of a spring and pined away. or oh my god, so the flower right. that bears
that's
his
where
name
narcissism comes from.
Sprang up from when he died. The Greek traveler in geography, whatever, of is more so smoking than the Narcissus to console himself for the death of his beloved twin sister. His exact counterpart sat gazing into the spring to recall her features. Oh, okay,
this
so
is
maybe
like just enough words to not be helpful, but to be talking.
Yeah, that's dead. That's a podcast, okay? That's
did you not know about Narcissus before?
No, I had no idea, actually. I had no clue.
Oh. You learned something today.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so it's not a god, so I couldn't make him like a Greek god of the week, but maybe I'll try and work in a way to bring him up on Percy Jackson. Anyway, okay, so we're on it. In no way does that relate to the ship name, despite it basically
it's
being
close.
The same letters. It's like right there, but like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, but the ship is not obsessed with itself.
The ship is not obsessed with
the
itself.
The ship does not have a self-induced downfall of any kind.
I would maybe argue that the Hildegard is more obsessed with itself than the Narcissus. You know?
Sure.
Okay, so Kuja has Iko, and they run away, and we follow. Great. The place that we go is Esto Gaza. You know, Esto Gaza is where we are heading. And we just kind of get there. We don't really have an option of going anywhere else. The ship just drops us off. And right next to the town, we walk in. I did have a rando encounter on the way of like some ice things, which were pretty cool, actually. I like the ice things, obviously. That's my aesthetic for sure. But I like the ice things. And we get to the place. We get to Esto Gaza. And we meet a freaking priest who is so rude to us. And he's basically a bishop, who's wildly racist against Vivi and pointy-hatted people. I think that's a race, but I guess I don't know.
The pointy hats.
Yeah. He's very rude to the pointy hands. And we're basically just like, where did the other pointy hat people go? There was someone who has kidnapped a girl and taken them. And he's like, oh yeah. Why are you being so disrespectful to me? And then we see a freaking flashback of the other, what are they called? The other black mages who are walking around and just walking right on through. And we see this bishop just standing there. One of them is freaking carrying Iko like by the side of the arm underneath. And he's just like, oh yeah, that's probably fine. No worries about that. No issues there. He just walks right by and he has the freaking nerve to like stop us and question us about what's going on here. People are bringing little girls that are unconscious in their arms throughout to this mountain or whatever.
And it's classic like, whatever. Stuff. Yeah.
What kind of bishop are you? I mean, okay, whatever. We need to get back there. Also, Kuja approaches this guy and he just like gets out of the way. Like this guy is nothing. What a joke. We're trying to get to Mount Gulag. With Iko. That's our ultimate goal here, is we're trying to find them. They took Iko, and they're going to Mount Gulag. Now, I thought that we were just here. This is where things get a little confusing for me, because did Pia and the gang go to Mount Gulag to get the Gulag stone and bring it back to the Desert Palace? But now, we are going back? Like, if Kuja could have just gone there the whole time, why did we go run the errand?
This is often my question when playing RPGs, is why are you sending me to do this thing that you are clearly capable of doing yourself?
Like,
not unlike Final Fantasy 14, which you have plenty of experience with. Can you go take this thing to this person that's 50 feet that way and then come back and tell me what they said?
But at least I understood the task. And when I'm delivering mail, at least I'm like, yeah, a mailman exists in the world and is needed, whatever. Okay.
I'm a warrior of light with tons of magical power, but sure, let me do this for you.
We literally slay whatever, I forget what they're called now in Final Fantasy 14, whatever. We slay, what are they called? What's the name? Do you know the name for all like the creatures that we find? They have a name for them. I forget what they call them. I don't know. Whatever.
We're out there slaying monsters.
Yeah, we're slaying a bunch of monsters, but mail. Also, yeah, delivering freaking Jeffrey's mail over to Henry or something. So, okay. It just made no sense to me. But also, like, the travel, because they have teleport pads that go straight there. Like we could go, because I accidentally did this as Pia is leaving to go. Actually, it might have been Aiko, actually. No, it was Pia. As Pia is leaving to go, like, follow the ship, like, we have to go follow the ship, there's one teleport pad on the right that takes us to basically where Aiko was trouncing around in. No, it was Aiko. It was when I was as Aiko doing, I don't know, whatever.
Turning on all the candles and stuff?
Yeah, turning on all the candles. We could go, basically what I'm saying is we can go from the Desert Palace to Mount Gulag easily without a ship. And also Kuja can and is doing it. But he had me go and freaking pull a British Museum and steal all the bloodstones from everything over there and take all the stuff. And then now he's going over there to suck an Eidolon out of Aiko or something. I don't even know what's going on here. We need to take a break. We need to take a minute because I'm confused beyond belief. We're gonna try and come back and figure it out.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, we are back. And our substantial recording break, during which you listened to several commercials, Adam, did you figure it out?
No, I figured out nothing. okay, I know that we're in Mount Gulag, which is a start, I suppose. We get into the mountain. We go down like a well or something that's in there, and we just kind of walk around. Really, the only intrigue that happens here as I'm like in the mountain, as I'm, you know, kind of running around getting other stuff, is that on three separate occasions I had to fight red dragons. Was sort of the big thing that happened while we were inside of the mountain. And let me just tell you, as I was going to fight the first one comes in a set of two. How lovely is that for me? Also, I don't know if they were optional or not, because like in retrospect, I could have just gone all the way down. I didn't actually have to go to the signs, but I guess I wanted the stuff that was there, but I didn't know where I wanted to go. So it wasn't like I was like choosing to go get the stuff. I thought that that might have been the path, but whatever. I got over there. I got the thing, and then I started to fight against two red dragons, and I was smoked. I was absolutely smoked. I have... in this party, which is my ideal, kind of ideal party, Vivi snuck his way in there because he was having an emotional connection with the mountain or something and was like, I'm going to go. And It does have sometimes where it's like, he's like, I'm going to go. And then it's like, choose the rest of your party. And it's like, well, I wouldn't theoretically have chosen Vivi. I would have picked Freya instead, but it's fine. I'm willing to take Vivi. So it's Pia and Vivi as sort of the requireds. We have Steiner because I will be damned if I don't have Steiner in my main party as much as possible. And then just for old time's sake, and because I do need a healer, I did pick Dagger. In retrospect, Dagger was the incorrect choice. That was the wrong choice. But I couldn't pick Iko because, well, Iko is kidnapped and is not
unavailable. Yeah.
Quinna may have been an interesting option. They have the White Wind, so they have like some healing, but they don't have like the ability to revive at this point. And so that's like sort of, I need to be able to have someone who can magically revive someone, so I'm not just chucking Phoenix Downs to get people up at 2 HP.
Of your characters learned auto life, and do you know how that works?
So I think Steiner has it, where when he dies, he comes back at a couple HP. Is that what that is, or
you
no?
You have to cast it on people, and then if they have that, if that status has then been activated by casting it, then they will come back. If they get knocked out, they'll come back at one HP. Because I have my VOD continuing to run in the background as we're talking, and I just found where that two dragon fight is, and I had that same problem. I got knocked out too, and I had Zidane, Vivi, Steiner, and Amaranth, the Flaming Ginger, who has some healing in his weird skills too. I think
he's got like the chakra thing, right? Like
yeah,
the
which I think also regains you some MP as well. And I got knocked out, and I think I left that. I think I did not go back to that fight. But at one point, I thought I was going to get to keep going because he had auto life. And so he came, my whole party was knocked out, and then he came back, and I was like, okay, here we go. And then they took another turn before I got to.
Yeah, one HP in a dream there.
That's right. It's worked for me in the past.
Oh, yeah.
There have been times where I've forgotten a thing that means they're going to come back. And they come back, and that's all I needed to like claw my way back into a fight.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even close. So admittedly, Vivi could make his way into the party. Like he is probably always the fifth option. So usually it would be Freya instead of Vivi, and then the Dagger Iko could be interchangeable because I want a healer. So like it's not that either of them are both above Vivi, but like one of them has to be in the spot.
Sure.
But I think Vivi is like always the fifth option. And it's never, ever the Flaming Ginger. Uh-huh. Sorry. I think that's it. Those are all the party
Quinna.
I mean, Quinna could be in there. I think Quinna's really good as like a second. I mean, I took Quinna when I went to Mount Gulag for the first time, but it was because of like the physical damage versus the magic damage.
Yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot when Quinna. Sometimes Quinna's super useful,
yeah,
and other times they're just there to take damage and get knocked out over and over.
Which is
over
fine,
again.
But like Steiner and Pierre are both so tanky. So then I went back up. I was over like if you're imagining this map, which if you're listening to this, like fully imagining the map that I'm on.
Good luck.
Pop off. I was over on the right side of the well, and I got the thing up on the stairs or whatever, and then I just ran around those stairs for, I basically told myself, 30 minutes of grinding, and then we fight the dragon again. Because my previous save, where it spit me back out beforehand, I could either go all the way back to the top of the mountain, or if I just did continue from where I was at before, it just spit me out basically right on the screen of the red dragon, which would make it so all of my grinding progress will have been for naught. We wouldn't have saved. So I was like, 30 minutes, I'm going to fully grind, and then we'll go. I also, at that point, equipped all of like the XP boost, stuff like that to all of the characters. So everyone was getting so much XP. And I grinded probably 12 levels on everyone at the very minimum. I think Steiner got up to like 30. I don't even know. No one had less than like 1700 HP. Steiner was almost
that's really good.
3000. I was sending it. And we were fighting some annoying things too. There are some things up there where it's like they cast like Devil Candle and it would, I don't even know what it would do. Or there was one that would just cast freaking Doom and it would just kill me.
Yep.
It would just be like, here, count from 10, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're dead. That's the whole thing, which is unfortunate. But luckily, Dagger could heal them. But Dagger kept losing concentration. It was very frustrating. I had to use a lot of ethers. Uh-huh. So it was basically random encounter, ether, and then fight, and then heal up in the off screen. Random encounter, random encounter, do it again, and just go over and over and over. I plowed through probably 20 ethers going through all of this because that was my only way of like really healing off screen. I didn't want to use a bunch of potions because I have auto potions set up on Dagger and on Vivi because they they don't have health. They just don't have the health to not be instantly. I mean, they do now, but like they didn't at that point have the health to deal with it. Uh-huh. And admittedly, it's only like 450 health, but that's not an insignificant amount. Like it makes it so you can take, you know, two hits and still be alive if you have a potion in between there, as opposed to before. If Vivi got hit by two things, he was just dead.
Yeah, it is a struggle in this game, though, that the potions do not scale with you. Like it is not a percentage of health. It is a flat number that very quickly, or I guess not very quickly if we're now talking in disc three, but becomes kind of irrelevant in the later game.
I think these are like the max size of potions. And I'm not upset about 450 health. Like it's not actually an insignificant amount. It's like, you know, a quarter of a good health bar, like sixth or seventh of the best health bar. So like it's not terrible, but enemies can hit for more than 450 pretty consistently, so it's not like going to be the end all be all of things, but I think as like an auto potion situation, I'm not mad about it. I'm never like using a potion as an item mid combat. It just is never going to be worth it damage wise to healing wise. Like there's just no way that ever makes sense. I did have to a couple times use the Phoenix Downs mid-fight if I have multiple people down instead of just one. But just trying to keep the damage output is really the key. And Vivi sticking poison on enemies is a great way to have consistent damage. And he's pretty consistent about hitting it too. So, okay. So I grinded forever. Beat the dragons. By the time I got to the dragons, I was a little overpowerful, and it was really not that difficult of a double dragon situation, which is good because then I had to go fight another dragon and then two more dragons yet again as we're getting down into the bottom of this mountain. And we find Kuja, who is trying to extract the Eidolon from Iko. Now, we have seen this previously with Dagger, right? Dagger had the Eidolon in her, and Zorn and Thorn were doing some kind of weird ritual in the basement and trying to extract the Eidolon from her. And they're trying to do it with Iko, but it's not really working. And Kuja's like, okay, what is going on here? Freaking Zorn and Thorn, we need this Eidolon. And they're like, well, it's really not a fully grown Eidolon until she's 16. And as we know, Iko is not 16. She is
six.
She is not 16. She's not even close to 16. And we're still trying to extract this Eidolon from Iko. And Kuja's like, listen, I want to take over the entire world. I want to use this world to take over other worlds. And it starts with generating an Eidolon more powerful than Alexander. And it must be done from this six-year-old. And Zorn and Thorn are like, okay, I mean, I guess we'll keep trying. And then, as they're going to extract the Eidolon from Iko, friggin' Kupo appears and interferes and is like, you're not going to do this. I'm going to protect you. And friggin' it turns into another Eidolon. Kupo, it's a little convoluted, and I don't even know that I fully understand this or I'm going to be saying this correctly. The friggin' Kupo turns into an Eidolon and one-shots Zorn and Thorn as they go into a fake combat there that I was like, I guess a part of, but not really. I was just a spectator. And Iko gets told from Kupo, just like, oh, cast terraforming I think that was it actually. And then turns Zorn and Thorn into like a pile of earth and just destroys them. The Mog, I think the name was, I have written down here, but Kupo, let's be honest here. Mog was an Eidolon the whole time. Aiko didn't even realize this was an Eidolon, which also begs the question, what is an Eidolon? Like, so you have an Eidolon inside of Aiko, like, as her, or is she an Eidolon? Does she, can she summon? Is Kupo a summon? What is
it? Yeah, you summon the Eidolons. Physics of what that literally means is kind of unclear.
Yeah.
Like, all of the gemstones that you find, like, you mentioned topaz, and there's also sapphire and emerald and diamond and opal and whatever. Mm-hmm. Each of those gems is what will teach Dagger and Aiko various summons. But what does that literally look like? You know, how is a hat teaching you cure? No one really knows. This is not explained. The mechanics are not explained in within the world of the game. You just have to accept that.
You just have to go for it. Okay, that's fine. But also, I didn't realize that Kupo could talk in not Koopa Koop words. So, you know, good for them. I guess maybe because they are an Eidolon.
They were doing that back in Sorry.
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I tried to forget everything that happened in Medane. Sorry. That was vague. Okay. We defeat Zoran Thorn. Pia and the gang show up. And Kuja is there. And immediately, like, we're just running after Kuja. He's like, no, you're not going to do this. And he, like, force fields us away. Great. And then he is, like, just basically walking away. He's like, I know what I need. I'll get what I need. Don't you even worry about it. I hear we have the line. Really, we have the line here. I hear those twins referring to Zoran and Thorn, of course. Mm-hmm. Put on a good show. Only they're not twins. Are they?
Bum, bum, bum.
And at this point, I was like, Kuja, what are they? What you mean they're not twins? What are they, lovers? What are we doing here? What do you mean they're not twins? What else could they possibly be? Zorn and Thorn are not twins? I don't know. Is there a Zorn and Thorn fanfic out there somewhere? Like, is there a world? Yeah, okay. I'm not interested in seeing
around
it.
25 years.
Yeah.
Everything is out there.
Yeah. I don't want to see it. I just want to know that it exists is really the thing there.
This is like early days peak, like fanfiction.net time too.
Yes.
Shortly
yes.
after this game is released. So that feels ripe for possibilities.
I'll tell you, Zoran and Thorin feel ripe for something too. Vivi runs off. Yeah. It's not, Vivi runs off at this point to follow Kuja, whatever. We'll get to him later. And then we fight Zoran and Thorin, except they have melded themselves into a weird body situation here and are just a big, gross kind of creature. They're not hard to kill, though. This is not like a hard fight at all. Aiko joins the party. Vivi leaves. So I have like all the healing in the world. I have my two best damage dealers. Like, this is also a totally fine party. Like, I would theoretically replace Dagger with Freya, but like, it's fine. This is a totally fine party. Plenty of offense, plenty of healing. It's great. Defeat Zoran and Thorin. Great. Okay. Then Vivi comes in right after the fight is over. Very convenient. And is like, Kuja was lying about everything. He just told all the other black mages that he can't actually extend their lifespan and that they're just going to stop one day. And we're all like, oh man, that is tough. That's crazy that the guy who was promising you that he could extend your lifespan was maybe lying about that particular fact. But you could still live life to the fullest, Vivi, right? Like, you still have so much to live for. There's still so much going on. I mean, all of us are going to stop one day, but you have so much going on. He's like, no, I'm going to go sit with them. And that's going to be what I do. Poor Vivi really has been going through it, is like nine. And it's just really in the thick of things. In a way, this is probably sad to some people, right? This is probably sad. Probably you're probably devastated about this little
a 9-year-old having an existential crisis and just accepting the reality of of the eventual the inevitability of death. Yeah, it's
I mean,
sad.
That's like the key though. I don't know. Like, you just have to accept it. Like, one day we're all going to stop, and the you know, there's no real use to trying all these different things, especially objectively evil things, to extend your lifespan. When you should just be utilizing your current lifespan to the best of its ability or to the best of your ability. But what do I know? Maybe not more than Vivi in a lot of these cases, to be honest with you. So Vivi's having his crisis. Great. Okay. Then this is where things get a little off the rails here. A rando woman says, hey, is someone there? And I'm like, where are we right now? Aren't we at the bottom of Mount Gulag? And they're like, what is going on? And who should be here? Who should be in this random little side room at the very bottom of Mount Gulag but Hilda of famed Hildegard 1-2 whatever, Hildegard royalty,
the eponymous Hilda. Yeah. In her beautiful room with her gorgeous bed and all her nice lights
fully
and her,
made
like,
up
drapery,
yeah,
and
she's in a giant dress, she is decked out here. And then, because that wouldn't even be crazy enough if we just like encountered Hilda here, one thing, Cid shows up. Since when has Cid been here? Cid's been here the whole time.
He was part of, he got, when you all got abducted together, he was with you, because there's seven potential members, or no, there's eight members of your party, but remember, because he went and did the thing that opened the doors.
Oh, no, I remember that. We hasn't done anything since. We haven't even heard from him since.
He was just with you on the ship, yeah. Because he, what was he going to do? Stay in the desert palace?
I don't know. Maybe contribute to any of the goings on of the group. At any point, Cid. Anyway, Cid walks in, and we really get some wild stuff here. This was probably my favorite part of this little time, because I was going to stop a little bit beforehand, but that I was going to stop basically when we got to the room, but then I saw that it said that. I was like, okay, we got some drama happening here. And immediately, first off, Hilda's like, oh my, wait, what do you mean it said? I don't remember marrying a frog. And I was like, what a friggin' piece of dialogue right there. But then she goes even further, because Sid's like, oh, it's me. You know, you recognize me? She's like, of course. The mustache. How could it be anyone else? It must be you. The mustachioed frog. It must be you. And then, so, okay. What we know about them previously is that she was scorned. I don't think we were told why in the past. She was upset at Cid and turned Cid into an Anglob. And he has been trying to like win her back or earn her back by naming ships.
Yeah.
After
she
her.
Calls him a skirt chaser. So yeah. We can put two and
well,
two
we're
together.
Putting two and two what together pretty quickly here, because Hilda's like, yeah, Kuja is very evil. He was like telling me all of his plans. He told me everything. I didn't even have to pry, and he told me everything. And so it's like, oh my god, well, we need to know those plans. We have to tell Pia those plans so we can like actually go stop it. And he'll and then Hilda's like, well, he might be evil, and he's probably going to be using this world to destroy others, and that's what he's going to do. He was taking me, he wasn't really holding me hostage, but he was telling me all these evil plans. But at least he didn't cheat on me, Sid. Yeah. At least he didn't cheat. At least he wasn't a filthy philanderer. She goes on and on about how evil Kuja is and how he literally wants to destroy the entire world. And then I swear to God, she finishes it off with, but at least he didn't cheat on me. I dropped dead when she said this. I could not believe that's where this was going. And Sid's like, whoa, 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 what? He has no idea.
He's evil and a narcissist, but he was nice to me. So all is
nice
forgiven.
Oh my god. We have a new character in the running for Narcissist of the Week here. okay. Great, he didn't cheat, whatever. And then Sid's like, I promise, baby, I will never cheat on you again. And she's like, but how can I trust your words? And he's like, because trust me, I won't do it. And then she's like, okay, I'll turn you back, or what if I turn you into a hedgehog pie? And he's like, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. And then she's like, fine. And then she turns, I don't know how, we had to go through strange potions, wacky potions, nasty potions, whatever, to try and
turn
him
back. She's very powerful.
She just freaking does it. She turns him back, and she turns him into an absolute zaddy out here as Sid the human now appears. And let me tell you, I was kind of, whatever, maybe out on the Oglop or the frog of it all. That mustache, though. I can see how you could put that mustache on a frog and be like, oh, yes, it's you, Sid. I fully see you. Freaking Zaddy Sid out here is, double-cheeked up on a gulag afternoon. Like, that's what's going on here.
And we're going to talk about Sid, but I do not want to neglect to mention that before she turns him back into a human, she is, like, kneeling and, like, holding this little frog, like, on her lap.
She kissed the frog,
it's a teddy bear or like a little baby.
Yeah, she like kissed the frog, I think, is how this got turned back. Like a frog kiss situation. Okay, and basically that's where I'm over. I just finished at the next save point because we're waking up with Pia in the room. I don't know how we got back to Limp Bloom, but we got back to Limp Bloom, no problem. Because sometimes we can just travel places easily, and sometimes it's just an insane endeavor. We're back in Limp Bloom.
She might have had one of the Hildegards, and so it's possible that we traveled back on one of the Hildegards, but
no clue. Maybe
it's not.
And I get woken up and being like, hey, there's a meeting in the conference room coming up, and I'm like, okay, I'll see you in the conference room. Thanks for telling me it's in the conference room.
So many conference room meetings in this fantasy.
I'll be right there. Yeah, like I don't go to friggin' conference rooms enough in my life. Like I need another one here in Final Fantasy IX, but... And that's where I ended up throughout this section of game. I don't know how much more we have left, but it does feel like we are getting close to the end.
Things are coming to a head. We're probably about two-thirds of the way through Disc 3 at this point, I would say. It a little bit depends on how much additional running around you do with access to the ship. But... you can also fly through some stuff pretty fast if you don't go do extra things. But as you have learned, extra things can be helpful. So
could be. Doesn't mean that I'm going to do them, but I do agree that that is a lesson that someone theoretically would have learned by this point.
Someone keeps trying to impress upon you. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's where we're at in the gameplay. And you have already picked our Issa look character.
I mean, I don't know how we don't do Sid here. I just don't know how we don't do it. Like maybe Hilda could have been in the running. Maybe. But like, I don't know. We have to do Sid here.
Sid Fabul, who is Sid Fabul the ninth. Who is 35 years old, but looks like he's 60.
Oh my God. This man, 35. Okay. So I also took a screenshot of when he turned, basically because I was just so in shock at seeing so much knee on a character.
And Fabul, by the way, is a reference to a town in, or a kingdom in Final Fantasy IV, which is where the monks live and where Yang, the boss ass monk, is found in Final Fantasy IV. So just dropping in another historical Final Fantasy reference in the game, if you somehow know that Sid's last name is Fabul, although it is spelled differently. But
yeah, I was gonna say I don't even know that like it has told me that name at all.
Probably not. I mean, yeah. It doesn't generally tell you last names, but almost every Final Fantasy character does have one, and they're usually wild.
Yeah, maybe like you could see it in some kind of like paper or statue or something if I like looked in the right place, but whatever. Okay, we have to start with the mustache. We just simply have to. It is the largest, also like it goes in the opposite direction of what I would expect just simply based on gravity. It's almost like he has a hairy horseshoe right on his face that goes backwards. Like it is absolutely massive. And it is
collection of a handlebar mustache. It goes up. Yeah. And down.
I don't know. There has to be a name for it, but also I don't think that this exists in the real life because I don't think it's possible unless
it,
you're
it
just...
defies the laws of gravity. Even if you had significant aid of mustache wax,
yeah,
it's a lot.
Like this would be wildly impressive. So pop off in the first place. I love his hair. It's like there's like a little bit of texture there. It's kind of slicked back. It's parted on that side. So I like that. I think that's the side that I part it on, if I'm like imagining this correctly. So although based on this video, but I think it's like mirrored. So whatever. Okay, so I like the hair. He's got some big ears. That man can hear. pop off in that respect. I like the get up here. The cape is cool. The top is cool. I do like the design and like the little belt moment in the middle. It's when we get below the belt, if you will, that things get a little sus down here.
Yeah, so Sid is dressed in pretty straightforward, like without breaking a lot of rules, Elizabethan era clothing for a nobleman. He's got his doublet, which is cinched at the waist.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what the pants are called, the like big floofy pants. They have a name and I used to know, but I don't remember anymore because it has been almost 10 years since I worked at the Renaissance Fair. But those were very typical of like the late 1500s, early 1600s. And then usually you would have tights underneath. It does not look like, I imagine he's wearing white ones, but it sure doesn't look
no.
like it.
Oh no, Zed, there is nothing underneath this. This is
just bare legs. The legs are out.
The dogs
Bryce
are
would
out.
Love this look because the shorts are above the knee.
Yeah. They are, I mean, they
are thumbs are hidden
significantly above the knee. We can see all of the knee. Like there is a lot of knee.
If you scroll down on the Final Fantasy fandom wiki page, which is where we are always looking at these artworks, you can find a photo that is him in profile and from behind. And in profile, Sid's got some nice legs.
Yeah. Oh, Sid.
I don't know what he's been. Well, maybe they are all jacked up from hopping around.
Really? Do you think the muscles translate? If you
it's
like
always are, leg day when you're
if you're hopping around, be like a frog. That's gonna be on the gym wall. Be like a frog.
And then I also really enjoy that if you look at him from behind, his mustache is just like aggressively sticking out on both sides. Past
it's very ears, aggressive sticking out.
Which
and
looks
also
really
ears.
Pointy.
That's what
his
I was saying.
Look
the
really
ears.
Pointy from behind.
Ears are way out there. The other thing that I have to, now that I'm seeing this from the side, I don't know why I thought that the beard mustache situation would not have like a weird little middle thing in there on the face. Like I don't even know
he's
how to describe
like the
this
whole
to you.
Frame of the mouth.
Yeah.
Which probably has a name and I don't know what that would be. Plus the goatee in the middle, plus it comes up the sides, plus sideburns, plus the flying mustache on the top.
But it's like
all
if
of
you're,
it.
If you're
but
looking
so
at this,
it is maintained.
There's like a weird trapezoid of cheek in there that like, I don't even know how else to describe this because you just have to look. We'll post this picture in the Discord, but you just like, you have to look at this. The only other thing to talk about are the shoes. I like the shoes. They seem like pretty simple. No socks. No one wears socks in this world. But then the front over by the shin goes like way up. Like his shins are protected from the
You're
front.
You're guarding those saucy ankles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just to throw it in here, if you've heard the term break a leg and don't know what it means, well, or you know it means good luck, but you don't know where it came from, it came from this time period when men wore clothes like this with these like expose the musculature of your legs. And when breaking a leg is a way that you bow with like your one leg in the back and then you like point your other leg forward and you bend on your back leg and you are presenting this beautiful leg as you're bowing. And that's what it means to break a leg before it meant good luck in the theater world. So that's okay. Just another little fun historical fact I have for you.
We really are bringing out a lot of interesting facts and tidbits here on this podcast.
Also, I want you to know, Adam, and maybe I'll post a picture of this in the Discord as well if people want to see it. I have this shirt.
Okay. What is so?
It's not Sid, but I'm going to think of it as Sid from now on.
Yeah. The mustache is maybe not fully to the Sid levels, but like it's
a little more realistic, but it is very stylized.
Yeah.
And this guy does have a big beard that has horses in it.
I don't know that I
got it at a circus festival I went to in Prague.
Oh, I don't know that I could like physically grow a mustache like this. Like, I don't even know that it's like theoretically possible, let alone.
I doubt it.
I don't even know why you would want to, but I guess like if you could, you should. I don't know. Yeah.
It's big like Brooklyn hipster vibes.
Yes, yes, yeah. This person is probably drinking kombucha. Is what's happening here?
And works like at a tattoo parlor.
Mm-hmm. Do people still drink kombucha? Is that a thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know what kombucha is. Honestly,
it's a fermented beverage with live cultures in it that are probiotic and good for your gut health.
There are so many words that you just said that I. should know. Like, I don't know what a probiotic is. A culture? Doesn't like milk culture or like cells?
Or like the way that like yogurt has cultures, and kefir is another one. I don't really know what kefir is.
Yeah, I mean, we're just okay. Anyway.
Maybe I should send this podcast when I'm applying for jobs so that they understand all the big words and random facts that I know.
Yeah, it's very impressive. I bet if anyone listened to this podcast wouldn't hire you, I'd be shocked. They really
I know so many things.
Yeah. Seriously. Like Narcissus, for example, and cultures.
We're talking about culture.
We've talked terrains,
literature.
We've talked
history,
scopes. We've talked
fashion,
Greek. My
knowledge is broad and in surprising places, occasionally very deep. knowledge. Adam, stop it.
Okay, we gotta go. Okay.
We gotta wrap it up here. We're out of here. Adam's about to lose it. Anything else you want folks to know as we finish up here?
No,
today?
I'm excited to keep going here. It does seem like we're close to the home stretch, although I feel like I said that last time and then put in another like 6 or 7 hours. What I do want though is that, and that maybe this is only like really for one or two people, but if anyone out there wants to take a guess at how long it will have taken me fully to complete the game, I would love to, I don't know, like figure out a prize or something for whoever can get the closest to
like
guessing.
Like how many jelly beans?
Yeah.
Like how many hours the playthrough?
Yeah. How many hours do you think it will take me once I am fully finished to finish the game entirely? And I'm not going to tell you where I'm at right now because I feel like that's kind of cheating. But like, you know, just put in your guesses, okay, for like the whatever two or three of you that are out there, put in your guesses, and I don't know, maybe we'll come up with something. Maybe whoever gets the closest at the end gets to like choose one additional Issa look or something. I don't know, whatever, we'll figure something out. So there you go, put in that. But I'm excited to keep going. It should be fun.
Yeah, I was just trying to look and see if I could figure out how long my playthrough took, which will be much longer than yours, because I did a lot of side stuff.
You did all the side stuff.
Are never going to do. I didn't even do all the side stuff, but wow. I did a significant amount of side stuff. But I cannot pull it up very rapidly at this moment.
Okay, well, I'm going to do. I'll do my plugs quickly, and then you can.
Yeah,
do
your plugs.
Great. I'm Adam H. You can find me on Twitter, PNM and Adam1, as well as every single week over at One Indescribable Podcast. That's One CHG Podcast on Twitter. We're talking through Girls 5 Eva. We're into season 2. We're having a ton of fun of that. And then we're also doing Previous Little Liars, where we're going through season 1 of Pretty Little Liars, but only watching the previously ons. We are releasing 2 podcasts a week for Previous Little Liars. Admittedly, they are like 30-minute podcasts and require like 2 minutes.
About what? About 2 minutes of content. Yeah.
About 2 minutes of content. And it's really, really fun. Go check that out over there. In the post-show recaps world, I'm finishing our conversation about Monarch Legacy of Monsters with Todd the Librarian. I'm talking about Doctor Who with Kevin and Melissa. We're picking back up this next week with season 6 and the Christmas special just before it. So very excited about that. And then, of course, I'm also talking about Percy Jackson with Melissa episode by episode. And then if you're a patron of Potion Recaps, we're also having a book club podcast to talk through Percy Jackson as well. And it is decreed that that is the only podcast where I will admit that I am wrong on anything. So you have to go listen to that if you want me to admit that I'm wrong about literally anything. So go check that out over there. We're doing that every other episode. So every other week we are doing a book club podcast. But we will have regular episodes every single week about Percy Jackson as well. So that's where you can find me. Zed, what about you over there on twitch.tv/hardrockhope?
That is where you can find me. I got no other podcasts going on at the moment. That's okay. So you can find me on Twitch almost every day of the week these days. I'm trying to be pretty consistent. We started another playthrough of Fire Emblem Three Houses a couple weeks ago. Having a lot of fun with that. Still doing our Final Fantasy VII all comrade run, which has led to a lot of really hilarious dialogue where comrades are just yelling at each other with the same name. And we're past disc one now, so we made it through the hard part just yesterday, I think, as we're recording this. It was difficult. It's hard every time. The end of disc one of Final Fantasy VII is just sad every time. It's so good. So we're into disc two now. We're into like the meat of the plot flying forward. So you can come hang out with us there at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. And don't forget to please subscribe to Post Show Recaps, wherever you get your podcasts. You can pick your favorite shows to follow on individual feeds, such as this one at postshowrecaps.com/finalfantasy. But otherwise, we appreciate your ratings and reviews in the various podcast app review places. They really help grow the network. And other than that, we will catch you all next week with whatever comes next in Final Fantasy IX. Until then, take care, be safe, don't get on any weird ships without knowing where you're going. Bye-bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.